This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Allahumma laka alhamdu, wa ilayka al-mushtaka, wa bika thiqatu, wa alayka tuklan, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Aliyyil Azim. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأن تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My brothers and sisters, welcome to our regular tafsir class where we are going through the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. It's really a ni'mah to be able to come to the masajid and have these types of gatherings and to remind ourselves of the Quran and the Sunnah. May Allah make us among those that just not only listen to it, but also act upon it. We were in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we were speaking about Prophet Ibrahim quite a lot. These ayats are all about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we mentioned how significant of a figure he is for us as Muslims. He is the only individual that our Prophet ﷺ is told to specifically follow. The Prophet is generally told to follow the guidance that came before. When Allah mentions many prophets in Surah Al-An'am, Allah says to the Prophet, and of course by extension to us, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. Those messengers and those prophets are those whom Allah guided, so follow them in their guidance. But Prophet Ibrahim specifically, Allah said to him, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَوَحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Allah mentioned to follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what makes Prophet Ibrahim such an essential figure is that Allah promised him that he will be an imam. We mentioned in verse 124 where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is a promise from Allah to Prophet Ibrahim, إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I will make you an imam to all people. And you can see that in how many faiths they claim Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is why you have the term Abrahamic religions, right? Many, many faiths, they know of his greatness, they claim to be. And one of the main messages you'll find in the Quran regarding Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is to ensure that, to refute that claim. No, not all faiths follow Ibrahim, absolutely not. Specifically, Judaism and Christianity, who have a strong connection to Prophet Ibrahim, are being told that is absolutely not the case. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Ibrahim wasn't a Yahudi, he wasn't a Nasrani, but he was Hanif, one that turned away. The word Hanif, always mentioned regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hanif. Millat Ibrahim Hanifa, right? Al-Hanifiyya, which is to turn away from all and only towards Allah. To turn away, this is why the word Hanf or Ahnaf, it comes from the person, the Arabs used to call the person whose legs, when they are walking, their legs are turned outwardly or inwardly. They call him Ahnaf Rijlain. They are turned away, right? So, what is Ibrahim turning away from? Everything that is false, everything that is not haq, towards all that is haq, turning away from all false deities, only towards Allah. So this is what Hanif is, and Ibrahim truly was a Hanif. So now, the claim of the Yahud and the Nasara to Ibrahim is being refuted in many different ways. Number one, Allah tells us about the message of Ibrahim is a message of Tawheed, which is not present in the Yahudi and the Nasraniya. Another thing Allah tells us is this, the Kaaba. Does the Kaaba have any importance to Christianity? Does the Kaaba have any importance to the Yahud? No. Who built the Kaaba? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, you are ignoring such a monumental part of his legacy. Don't you dare claim to be a follower of his. Which is why Allah is telling us, you want to follow Ibrahim? Ibrahim stood for Tawheed. You want to follow Ibrahim? Ibrahim built the Kaaba. You want to follow Ibrahim? Ibrahim made dua for Allah to send a messenger to the people of Mecca, which is Prophet Muhammad, so follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, think about the word that is being used here. Ibrahim and Ismail are making dua. And they said in verse 128, last we mentioned that in our last lesson, they said, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ. O Allah, make us two Muslims. Look at the wording, Muslims. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. And make our offspring and our progeny a ummah that is Muslim to you, O Allah. And we covered what the word Muslim means. Muslim is one that does what? Submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the da'wah Ibrahim comes to. Submit yourself to Allah through tawheed. And then he makes a dua for a messenger to be sent. And that messenger, of course, was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. O Allah, sent among them a messenger. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. Reciting upon them your verses. وَيَعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ. Teaching them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And the sunnah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And purifying them through this learning. And giving them tarbiyah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزِ. O Allah, you are the mighty. Al-Hakim, the all-wise. So there is a strong connection between Islam and Ibrahim, between Ummah of Muhammad and Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is the Khalil of Allah. Now Allah poses a question. This is where our lesson starts today. Allah poses a question in verse 130. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبْ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. Allah mentions, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And who is the one that will reject the way of Ibrahim? Who is the one that will deny and reject the way of Ibrahim? Illa man safiha nafsah, except the one who fools himself. How could you reject the way of Ibrahim? No one should, and no one except the one who is fooling himself. Because it is through the way of Ibrahim that you will find salvation and guidance. The word raghiba is used here. Raghiba. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ. Interesting, the Arabic language is very interesting. It's very raghiba. Could mean to like, it also could mean to dislike. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ, whoever dislikes. If I say, رَغِبَ فِي Muhammad, it means I like Muhammad. رَغِبَ عَنْ Muhammad, I dislike Muhammad. So, رَغِبَ, its meaning you will only understand with the word that is followed. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And whoever dislikes the way of Ibrahim, rejects it, who would do something like that? Allah is asking, who, and the question here isn't a question of trying to find information because Allah is all-knowing. This question is called tawbikh. It is, who dares, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, who dares to reject and to dislike the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَهُ, except the one who is a safih, fools himself. A safih is a fool. And you'll find the word safih come in the Quran a few times in later chapters. Actually, in a few lessons from this one, will come sayaqulu sufaha. And the safihs will say, the fools will say, right? And we mentioned already in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, ala innahum humus sufaha. When we're talking about the conversation between the hypocrites, where they would claim to be Muslims and then go back to the people and say, oh, we're just messing about, we think the companions are sufaha. Allah said, no, they are the fools, right? So a safih is also someone, and it's used in fiqh, for example, that there are certain types of people who are not allowed to be in charge of their own wealth, right? Certain types of people who are not allowed to be in charge of their own wealth. And that is, they are also called, this person, the ruling they're giving is that they are a safih with regards to their wealth. An example of that would be, let's say a brother, he is borrowing money from a lot of people and not paying them back. And whatever money he's earning, he's wasting it in things that are not appropriate. Now this person, this concept is called hajar. Not hajar the rock, but hajar is to stop the person from using his wealth. So the government, if there was an Islamic government, would intervene and take over his wealth and pay the people that he owes, because this person is too much of a safih to do it himself. Does that make sense? This is also, so it's also used as a legal term, safih. So this is the person that whose wealth must be, someone else must be in charge of, because they can't do it themselves either. An example of that would be people that now have gambling issues, right? That would be a clear example of that. Or, and there could be other examples as well. Tayyib. Allah says, who dares to reject, to dislike the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, illa man safiha nafsa. Who is this conversation being held with? Who is Allah talking about? The Yehud and the Nasara mainly. the Yehud and the Nasara mainly. Because a lot of the Qisah of Banu Israel was being spoken about, and then we got to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a lot more detail actually in Surah Al Imran. In Surah Al Imran, Allah speaks about this in a lot more detail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The most, the closest people to Ibrahim, the most deserving people of being called the followers of Ibrahim are those who followed him. وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ, and this Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believed. So Allah destroyed the claim of saying we are the followers of Ibrahim. In other words, the word Abrahamic faith and Abrahamic religion is a nice word, and I guess people use it, but there's only one Abrahamic faith, and that is Islam. There's only one Abrahamic faith, if you want to be very accurate, because there is no Abrahamic faith without Tawheed, pure monotheism. There's no Abrahamic faith without, for example, the whole concept of Kaaba or Hajj, all of these. Does that make sense? But I guess that term is used, I'm not denying or discussing its usage, but if you want to be really accurate, deenul, like the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is why there's actually a statement that is used quite often, which is, I was at a khutbah once, and the khatib said, مَا مِن دِينٍ مِن أَدْيَانِ السَّمَاوِيَّةِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَتِ الزِّنَا. There is no faith among the faiths that came from the heavens, that came from Allah, there's no deen among all the deens that came from Allah except it prohibited adultery and fornication. Now, there is a problem in that statement, and that problem is there's only one deen that came from Allah. There's only one deen, right? Now, there's a difference between the deen and the legislation, the details. The details are different based on one ummah and the other ummah. But the deen of Prophet Musa is the same deen as Prophet Isa, is the same deen as Prophet Muhammad. What's the evidence for that? The Prophet said in the hadith, deen al-anbiya wahid. Deen al-anbiya wahid. This is why I've seen a statement that is used by some people. When they're done with you, they say, listen, brother, leave me alone, man. Musa bideen, Isa bideen. Leave me alone. And it's like, leave me. I've seen people that use that statement. That's wrong. Musa and Isa have the same deen, right? The deen of the Prophet is one. So there can't be many Abrahamic religions. There's only one truly Abrahamic faith, which is Islam. But some people use that term, and Allah knows best. طيب. Allah asked the question, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ النَّفْسِ, except for one who fools himself. And then Allah mentions why Ibrahim is so special. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ إِصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Indeed, we have chosen him in this dunya. The word istafa, it means to choose. Mustafa is the chosen one. That's why among the Prophet's names is Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. The word mujtaba means the same thing. إِصْطَفَيْنَاهُ وَاجْتَبَيْنَاهُ. إِجْتَبَيْنَا, we chose. إِصْطَفَيْنَا, we chose. So Allah chose Prophet Ibrahim في الدنيا, in this world. What did Allah choose him for? Allah chose him to be his khalil. Allah chose him to be an imam. إِنِّي جَاعُلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah chose him to be the one that raises the foundations of the Kaaba. Allah chose him for the rituals of Hajj that is done by the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ to be started with him. Allah chose him for many, many things. He was chosen by Allah in this world. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And in the hereafter, he will be among the righteous. Of course, he will be among the righteous. He's among the most righteous people to have ever lived. There is a hadith in Muslim where the Prophet ﷺ, one of the companions, says to him, Ya khair al-bariyah, oh, the best of creation. And he said, La taqul hadha, fa'idhaaka Ibrahim. The best of creation is Ibrahim. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was being humble. The Prophet is the best of creation, but Ibrahim is a very close second. And the scholars generally say it's Prophet Ibrahim is right there next to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the only two people whom we know are the Khalils of Allah. The Khalils of Allah. How do we know that Prophet Ibrahim was a Khalil, a close companion and beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's mentioned in the Quran. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. How do you know Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Because he said in a hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took me as a Khalil. طيب. So Allah says we chose him in this world and in the hereafter he's among the righteous. Among the things that we know about Ibrahim عليه السلام is that he will be the first to be clothed on the Day of Judgment. As everyone is naked on the Day of Judgment, and one would argue, wouldn't people be looking at each other? But Aisha radiallahu anha asked that question for us to the Prophet, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-amru ashadda min dhalik. The situation is a lot worse than that. is a lot worse than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and make us among Ahlul Jannah and make it easy on us. طيب, so one more time, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, who dares to reject, to dislike the way of Ibrahim, إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ النَّفَ, except one who fools himself, his nafs. وَلَقَدْ إِصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, indeed we have chosen him in this world, وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and indeed Ibrahim is in the hereafter, لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, among the righteous. And how did he earn that righteousness? How did Ibrahim earn that righteousness? It's a question we have to ask ourselves, because we also want to be among the righteous. Allah tells us, Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ, and when his Lord said to him, أَسْلِمْ, submit. قَالَ, Ibrahim said, أَسْلَمْتُ, I submit myself, لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, to the Lord of the Alameen, all of the alams, the worlds, mankind, jinn, and all that exists. So, the key to Ibrahim alayhi salam being the best is his submitting to Allah. What does it mean to be submitting to Allah? It means to be a Muslim. To be a Muslim. And Ibrahim was a true Muslim. The word aslama is to surrender and submit. As Muslims, we surrender our will to Allah, our free will back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been given the choice. You can pray, not pray. You can drink or not drink, right? You can fast and not fast. You have that choice. Allah gave you that. فَمَن شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنُ وَمَن شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرُ, whoever wants, let him believe, and whoever wants, let him disbelieve. So that choice is been given to you by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mah. So now you have agency. You can choose. Now then Allah asks us to give back that choice, to give back this free will that you have, and don't live by your own desires and your own whims, but live by the law Allah gives you. Why? Because this is what it means to be a true servant to Allah. Another reason, because this is how you will live the best life possible. Following the law sent by Allah, it ensures we live the most, the best experience in this world, and we will also ensure that we are true servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Ibrahim was the epitome, it was the example of that. Nothing that he was asked to do did he even hesitate. He was told to give da'wah to his people. He started with his father. His father says, if you don't leave me, لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, I will stone you to death. He kept on giving his da'wah. He went to his people, he gave them da'wah. They tried to burn him alive. It didn't stop him. And throughout his journey, you see Ibrahim facing adversity after adversity, difficult time after, to the point where Allah keeps on testing him. And we mentioned those tests. What did Allah say about Ibrahim and his tests? If you go back to verse 124, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, when Allah tested, when Allah tried, when Allah tested Ibrahim with commandments and he fulfilled them all. He passed with flying colors. This is why he is such a central figure in Islam, because he shows you, okay, you're struggling with your five daily prayers. You're struggling with the hijab. You're struggling with being a practicing Muslim. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. He wasn't asked to pray five times a day. He was asked to slaughter his son. That was his test. He wasn't asked to fast 1 month of Ramadan. He was asked to leave his baby and Hajar in the desert. Allah was testing his trust in Allah. Allah was testing his submission. Ibrahim, who did khitan on himself. Khitan on himself. First to circumcise himself. Ibrahim, who every single test Allah put forth, would do it. What is the basis upon this? Why was he doing all of this? Very simple. He understood what it meant to be a Muslim. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. And Allah is telling us, Ibrahim was chosen in this world to be an imam. Ibrahim was among the righteous in the hereafter. Why? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ, when his Lord said to him, submit, what was his answer? Yeah, but actually it's difficult. No. إِذْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I submit myself to the Lord of the worlds. This is what it means to be a Muslim. Something that I should perhaps mention is that the word Muslim, it means to submit. And the word mu'min, it means to believe. Of course, Ibrahim was a Muslim and a mu'min. But when we use those two terms, mu'min and Muslim, they have different meanings. They have different, and actually they are, one is a higher level than the other. Muslim, of course, the Islam of Ibrahim alayhi salam was of the highest level. But to initially submit yourself and to enter into Islam, you become a Muslim. A mu'min is a higher level. a mu'min is a higher level. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is actually the belief of all of Ahlul Sunnah, there's two groups that say Muslim and mu'min are exactly the same, the Qadiriyya and the Khawarij. They say Muslim and mu'min are exactly the same. But the overwhelming majority of Ahlul Sunnah, the rest of the actual Ahlul Sunnah, they say they're not the same. They have different meanings. And what is the evidence for this in the Quran? Allah says about the Bedouins, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ, the Bedouins, these were people that came into Islam, they accepted Islam. They said, أَسْلَمْ آمَنَّا, we believe, we have faith, we are believers. Allah said, don't say this. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, but say, we have submitted. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلْ إِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, iman is, it requires work. You can't just say, I am a mu'min. It requires work. You are a Muslim first, and then as you work on your iman, as you do your acts of good deeds, as you pray more, as you read more Quran, as you build yourself up, you become a believer. And even higher level is a muhsin, right? One time, one of the companions said, give something, اعطي فلانا فإنه مؤمن, give such and such, for he is a mu'min. The Prophet said, oh Muslim, perhaps he's just a Muslim. Doesn't mean don't give him, but don't throw the title mu'min, giving it to everyone. A mu'min is actually, it requires work. And there's a whole mas'ala mentioned and studied in Aqeedah, which is, can I say I am a mu'min? Can I say and claim I am a mu'min? Then the scholars, they say, depends on what you mean by that. Because you shouldn't be giving tazkiyah to yourself. I am a true believer. It's almost alluding that you have complete iman, which this is why there are so many ahadith. And by the way, every hadith you come across that says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى, none of you doesn't believe unless, who can give me a hadith, who can finish that, none of you doesn't believe unless he loves for your brother, وإلا في مسلم, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. So none of you doesn't believe here means none of you doesn't believe a faith that is complete. لا يؤمن أحدكم إيمانا كاملا, that's what it means, right? Can anyone give me another example? لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. The hadith is 40, right? بارك الله فيك. Yes, it's very good. That hadith is one of the last hadith in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. There is some weakness in the chain, but it's a good hadith. It means the meaning is perfect, by the way. The meaning is good. One of you doesn't truly believe unless حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به, unless your own desires are following that which I came with. So there are many. So when you come across a hadith that says none of you truly believe, the word truly is really important. It means you do believe, but your belief can increase, right? So the one who loves for his brother, where he loves for himself, the one who, this is you working on your iman. Does that make sense? How do we come to the concept of talking about iman? Because you were talking about Islam. So Islam and iman. All mu'mins are Muslims, but not every Muslim is a mu'min. Did that make sense? Why isn't every Muslim a mu'min? Because you work your way towards being a true mu'min. But every person that is a mu'min is a Muslim. Another thing you have to remember is, and this is very important, is that these two terms, iman and Islam, or mu'min and Muslim, these two terms, if they are mentioned together in a sentence or in a conversation, they mean different things. If they are mentioned separately or by themselves, it encompasses both. In other words, in this verse, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ, it means Muslim, mu'min, all of it, because it's mentioned separately. But if you bring them together, they mean different things. Like the hadith of Jibreel, أَرْكَانُ الْإِسْلَامُ أَرْكَانُ الْإِيمَانُ, they mean different things. Like the hadith I mentioned earlier, when the Prophet ﷺ said, when he said, give him because he's a mu'min, the Prophet said, perhaps he's a Muslim. They mentioned the same context. So the Prophet is distinguishing between the word mu'min and Muslim. In the verses in Surah Al-Hujarat, the A'rab, the Bedouin said, we are mu'minists. No, you are Muslims. They mean different things. But if they're mentioned separately, they mean the same thing. Did that principle make sense? Okay. So, how did Ibrahim alayhi salam reach the level where he is chosen by Allah in this world and among the righteous? In a nutshell, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, when his Lord said to him, submit, he submitted to the will of his Lord, the Lord of all. Then, in the following verses, we see why Ibrahim is such an important figure and how he wasn't only about himself, he was very keen on guidance being passed down and being spread. Now, this is very interesting. We mentioned the weeks that passed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim a gift, and that was, I will make you an imam.
Who said that? Allah. To who? To Ibrahim. I will make you an imam. Ibrahim didn't say, that's amazing, ya Rabbi, thank you, and that's it. He didn't say that. He said, wa min dhurriyati, what about my children? What about my offspring? He wasn't only thinking about himself, he was also thinking about, and by dhurriya, it means your children and their children and everyone after. And then Allah said, la yanalu ahdi al-zalimin, my promise will not reach the wrongdoers. Meaning what? The wrongdoers among your offspring, they will not be imams, but the good among them will be. And many of them were. Who can tell me who are among those imams of guidance are among the offspring of Ibrahim? Who comes to mind? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the other prophets of Bani Israel. His two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. There's his son Ya'qub, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa. All of these are Bani Israel. Isa alayhi salam. How was Isa Bani Israel? Can Isa be Bani Israel? From his mother's side. Barakallahu fikum. From his mother's side. Yes. Maryama, who's also Maryama, or Maryam bint Imran, she's also among these leaders and these imams. Right? She's also among these imams and these leaders. Tayyib. So Allah tells him, you're an imam. He immediately asks about his offspring. That's the point I was trying to make. So you don't only think about yourself, you also think about those that come after you. You make dua for them, you think about them. Then later on, when he makes dua for Mecca, Ibrahim makes dua for Mecca. Oh Allah, make this a blessed place with fruits and take care of its people. He's thinking about others again, right? Then he builds the Kaaba and he makes dua with his son. Oh Allah, make us Muslims. Just us, no. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً. And among our offspring an ummah that is Muslim. Then he asks Allah to send them a messenger. Who's that messenger? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why there is a hadith, I believe it's a Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا دَعْوَةُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَبُشْرَ عِيسَى. I am the da'wah, the dua of Ibrahim. And I'm also the glad tithing of Isa, because Isa gave glad tithings to a messenger that came after. And that's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib. So you have Ibrahim always worried about the next generation, about his children, about those who come after him, to the point where he's constantly making dua for them. Now, he's not only making dua for them, now he has them sitting in front of them. Now he has his son Ismail, and his other son Ishaq, and then he has Ya'qub, his grandson. So now he's giving them a wasiyah, he's advising them, instructing them. Allah is teaching us the instructions that Ibrahim gave to his children. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ. And Ibrahim enjoyed, instructed, advised this submission. The same submission that granted him the rank of being among the righteous in the hereafter, and being an imam in this world, he's advising that to his children. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ, his children. وَيَعْقُوبُ أَنْ يَعْقُوبُ, his grandson. يَا بَنِيَّ, oh my children. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ, Allah has chosen for you this deen. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ, do not die. إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, except while you are Muslims, submitters, people that are following the laws of Allah and his commandments. Don't die except as a Muslim. Right? This is a beautiful advice that he is giving them. He's saying to them, O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion. Ad-deen, the one true religion. فَلَا تُمُوتُنَّ, so do not die except in faith of Islam, except upon this way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a question, because this was a conversation that was the Prophet was being held with the Yahud and the Nasara. Because this is very important, because the Yahud said that Ya'qub, and Ya'qub is very significant in the history of the Yahud. Why? He is their father. He is Israel. Ya'qub is Israel. So the Bani Israel, they look towards Ya'qub, right? Allah calls him Israel in the Quran. كل طعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه. All food was halal for Israel, except that which Israel made haram for himself. Who's Israel here? Prophet Ya'qub. So they said, why are you upon Judaism? Why are you upon Yahudiyah? Why are you upon this? Because Prophet Ya'qub advised us to be. This was Prophet Ya'qub's dying wish, for us to be upon Yahudiyah. And Allah is refuting that. How do you know that? How do you know that was his dying wish? Am kuntum shuhada? Were you witnesses? Idh hadar Ya'qub al-maut, when death came to Ya'qub? Were you there? أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ? Or were you witnesses when death approached Ya'qub? Who was a witness when death approached Ya'qub? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's telling us what happened, what really happened. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ? Were you witnesses? إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ? When death came upon Ya'qub. إِذْ قَالَ? When he said, لِبَنِيهِ, to his children, he posed a question. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What are you going to worship after me? I want to pause here. A few things to mention is, look at these great prophets. They're about to die, and the only thing on their mind is, what will my children worship? Who will they worship? Will they be Muslims or not? Often, as we raise children, we think about many things. Who will inherit my business? Please ensure that you take care of it. How would we do with this investment or that? Right? Who's going to take care of my youngest son? Ensure that he's well taken care of, that he goes to the best schools, this, that, or the other. That's where our minds are at. Our minds are in the dunya. Ibrahim is speaking to Ya'qub and Ismail and Ishaq, and he's mentioning them about La ilaha illallah, will you stay Muslims? Ya'qub is with his children. Who was his children? His 12 children, Yusuf and Binyamin and the other 10. And there is an athar that's mentioned by some of the Mufassireen, like Al-Baghawi, where he mentions that when Ya'qub entered into Egypt, he worried because in Egypt there was a lot of idolatry. And there was a lot of, and I think I mentioned this previously as well, that but the Banu Israel ended up in Egypt through the migration of Ya'qub to Yusuf. And they then lived among the Copts and the Egyptians, which will result in the Hebrews or the Yahud living there, which will result in their enslavement, which will be when Musa is sent among them. That's why they were in Egypt. And they eventually go back. So Ya'qub saw the idolatry that was happening, and he worried about that. He saw people worshipping the sun and the fire. And you can imagine Egypt 1,000 years ago, and what they were upon. So Prophet Ya'qub is ensuring, stay upon Tawheed, stay upon the way of your forefathers. And then he asked them this, and he's about to die. Allah says, were you witnesses when death came upon Ya'qub, when he said to his children, who will you worship after me? And what was his answer? قَالُوا, they said. Who said? His children. نَعْبُدُ, we will worship. إِلَٰهَكَ, your Lord. Your ilah. وَإِلَٰهَ آبَائِكَ, and the Lord and the God of your fathers. And who are your fathers? Ibrahim. In other words, you are upon the way of Ibrahim. And your father, Ismail. And your father, Ishaq. And what? Who are we going to worship? Ilahan wahidan, one God. One Allah. We're going to be upon Tawheed. We're going to be upon Tawheed. Just that? No. Wa nahnu lahu muslimun. And we will be submitted to him alone. Islam and Tawheed was mentioned. Islam and Tawheed. This is what they answered. This is the da'wah of Prophet Ibrahim and subsequently the da'wah of all the prophets and da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were all Muslims. So their deen was Islam and their call was Tawheed. Another interesting point to mention is, they said, we will follow the way of your fathers. And who are they speaking to? Who's about to die? And whose name is? Ya'qub. And then they mention, we'll be upon the religion of your fathers, Abaika. And who's the first that they mention? Ibrahim, which is his grandfather, right? And then Ismail. Ismail isn't his father. What is Ismail to Ya'qub? His uncle. So from here you learn something quite interesting. The Arabs used to call their uncles fathers. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعَمْ صِنُ وَلَبْ, like the Prophet ﷺ said. So this is, you find that quite often in the Quran or in the Sunnah, where the father is being referred to as, the uncle is being referred to as the father. So Ismail, who's your uncle, and Ishaq, your actual father, right? And they all worship Allah alone, and we will also worship Allah alone, وَنَّحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and we will submit to him alone. Then there's another point that must be rectified, because the Yahud and the Nasara would claim that we are the people of Israel. Therefore, we have some divine right to be upon the haqq. And that was dealt with already in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah taught us, when they said, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَاءُهُ in Surah Ma'idah, we are the children and the chosen people. Or when they said, we will go to Jannah and we will not be punished إِلَّا أَيَامًا مَعْدُودَ except for a few days. Right? It's all things. Just because we are from the Banu Israel, we are saved. Allah refuted that concept by saying, no, the only way you are saved is if you do righteous actions and have faith. Right? Doesn't matter who your lineage is, who you're connected with. So here, someone might be a little bit confused. Why? Because, okay, you have Ibrahim and then his children and then their children. So is this a family thing? Is this a family thing? And Allah saying, no, it's not. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ You see those great prophets that were upon Tawheed and Islam? They are a nation that is gone. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ They will earn what they worked for. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ And you will earn that which you work for. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ You will not be asked about what they used to do. So don't hang on or cling on to the good that these great prophets done. That will not help you. Nor will what you do help them. It is everyone and their actions. كُلٌّ بِحَسَبِ عَمَلِهِ وَكُلُّهُمْ أَتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا So from this verse we are being taught, it is your responsibility to be upon Tawheed. It is your responsibility to be upon Islam, to be a true Muslim like they were. Take them as an example, follow them, follow their guidance, but in the end, it's going to be you and your own deeds. We're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum hadha wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.